Now, we've been running the four-piece course for the last couple of years, and what we generally do is we get youngsters in from the age of 11 to 19 up to 26 if they've got additional needs and so on and so forth. And we've been looking after youngsters now for, you know, a period of time. We've had about 40 youngsters through the books, and this week we've got three youngsters from Medina College, and they're coming in tomorrow to do their own lunchtime social debate. They're taking on the difficult challenge of talking about the EU, which I'm really looking forward to because I love hearing youngsters what they've got to say for themselves and so on, and giving them a voice. Today we are going to be chatting to them individually. We've got Cameron, who's in the studio, Cameron Perry. We've also got Jake Cass, who's waiting to come in, and
them eagerly waiting.
Yeah, they are. They've nodded off out there, I think. We've got Alfie Watsit coming in as well. Okay, a little bit later on. So we've got Curly Watts. Sorry, we've got Cameron in at the moment. You are a dead ringer for Curly Watts, aren't you? And you didn't ever. Has anybody ever said that to you?
No.
Okay, but somebody's done a Google out there and showed you a picture of Curly Watts, and it was like looking in a mirror, wasn't it? It really was. Anyway, look, Cameron, you've been here for a couple of days. Have you enjoyed yourself?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Stop twisting his arm.
Now, we've got you in because we've got a couple of things that we want to talk about. We asked you the question, okay, because I think it may have been you that said this the other day, or certainly one of your colleagues, maybe, that, you know, there's certain things that you don't get taught in schools, like, you know, mortgages, APR rates, that kind of thing. So it got me thinking, from the way you look at life, and you're 15 years old?
14.
He's massive for 14. He's about 6 foot five, isn't he? He looks like he's been, you know, sleeping in a grow bag for the last 7 years.
Stretch rack.
How tall are you?
Got to be about 6 foot.
6 foot? You're much taller than that. I'm 6 foot. With my high heels on, yeah. I reckon you're probably about 6'3", 6'4". I mean, you're a giant for 14. What size feet you got?
9.5.
Oh, that's small. Mine are 9.5. Hey, you got small, dainty feet then. It's no wonder you keep falling over. Hey, look, we asked you five things. If you could come up with five things that you would change about schools, but in a positive way. Okay, so have you got five things?
Yeah.
Go on, let's hear the first one.
Change the fact that based on what we got in Key Stage 2, like the test we did, that's our GCSE targets, because, like, schools, when we have our Key Stage 2 tests, we, like, that's our GCSE target.
Yeah.
So I think we should change that, like, so you can aim for whatever you want, you can aim higher or lower.
Because they never had that when I was at school.
So you lost me at Key... What was it called?
Key Stage 2.
That's complicated, isn't it? That's real complicated.
They sort of say how far they think what grade you're going to get a grade, don't they, between B and C, or you're going to get a D, or you're going to get an A.
Right.
So they prejudge, and they set, am I right on this? They set your coursework to that grade.
Right.
So that you can't get any higher than that, because they say that's all your abilities are.
See, that's common sense. What you just said then, so what are you going to do about it?
Like,
don't go on strike or anything like that. Okay, but I mean, have you approached teachers? Did teachers say the same things?
No, teachers say, like, in year 11, you need to get a C or above. Like, teachers have said, you aim for C's, but anything above is a bonus. So,
right.
But some...
That's
really giving our youth confidence.
That's so wrong. See, the trouble is, they've been told that that's what they've got to do from some... I don't want to put words in your mouth. These are my words. These are not Cameron's. These are my words. Some idiot up country that sits in a big house, they call it Parliament, has decided that they're going to make the decision on this, and then they tell the teachers, well, this is what you've got to do. And that's so wrong. And you can spot that. Age 14, 15, you can spot that.
You want to go as high as you can, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
What have they set you a target for then? A D? Is that good or bad? Because A's used to be good, D's and E's.
D's a pass, isn't it? D is a qualification.
Yeah.
You ought to be aiming higher than that, shouldn't you?
Yeah.
Because if you think, oh, well, D's good for me then, that's what you're going to go for, isn't it? So that's restrictive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm with you on that. Let's change that rule. Okay, we'll send this to whoever, and we'll say, look, Cameron Perry, here on the Isle of Wight, aged just 14, but he is 6'2" and a bit. He wants you to have a little look at this and change it, because it doesn't work.
I think it's totally unfair.
Yeah. Tick. I'm pushing that through. Okay, we're going to do that. What's the next one?
Like, maybe instead of, like, in lessons, we're only taught, like, stuff to build us up for our GCSEs. We could be taught, like, life skills, like, stuff we could actually use in life after we've finished school.
Okay.
Give us an example.
Like, we could be taught, like, how to do taxes, like, for when we're older, like, stuff like that.
Okay, and you don't do that at school now?
No.
Okay, what other life skills do you reckon? I mean, just say for instance, now be honest, you had some life skills here this week, haven't you?
Like,
what was the first thing you learnt?
Communication.
What was the first thing you learnt? Go back to the time you turned up on the doorstep. You were the first one here. What happened?
You told me to wipe my feet.
I told you to wipe your feet. Sounds simple, yeah, bog standard.
Yeah.
But you now know that if you go into someone else's house,
business,
building, you wipe your feet.
Yeah, that's
okay.
A tick.
It's raining outside, it's wet, it's horrible. Last thing you want, just say for instance, if I came round your house and I didn't wipe your feet and I put like wet footprints all the way up your hallway, your mum's not going to be very happy, and neither are you, are you?
No.
So it's simple. So it's simple things like life experience, skills, like those kind of things. Yeah, okay, but shouldn't they come from home?
Some of it does, but like, what if your parents can't teach you that stuff?
Okay.
That's true.
I mean, yeah. I think
there are lots of the things that I can teach my children.
I think you're right, and I think that there should be a bit on both sides, shouldn't there? It starts at home and it ends up in the school as well. They teach you these things, but then if they're having to do all of these other things and get the ticks in the right place, they ain't got time to sort of teach you how to fill in a mortgage form. That's a sad thing.
And things are forever changing. You may have had your mortgage application 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, they're totally different. They could be totally different. They could be the main things the same, but they could be asking you different things. I mean, when you sell a house, at one stage, you had to have a full report.
Okay.
And so on. So, I think...
Can you cook?
Cameron's right there.
Some things.
So, if your mum and dad went away for the weekend and said, look, Cameron, you're old enough now to be left by yourself for a couple of days. I'm not sure whether that's legal or not, but, you know, being only 14, but you are 6'2", could you cope? Could you cook yourself something without burning the house down?
Yeah, I could.
Okay. What would you cook?
The only thing that I could cook that goes in the oven would probably be a pizza.
Okay. All right, we're all going around yours for pizza. What's next on the list?
At school, we need a few more like learning resources, like textbooks related to that subject.
Okay,
because we hardly have any at Medina, but they have said they're going to get some more in.
So textbooks.
Yeah,
you're struggling with textbooks.
Yeah,
that's incredible. Like, if you ain't got textbooks, you can't do the job, can you?
No, like they do have textbooks, but they're like not relating to the actual subject that we're doing.
Okay.
So we could get some like simpler textbooks for people who don't quite understand all the complicated stuff.
Okay. All right. That seems logical to me, to have the otherwise you haven't got the tools to do the job, have you?
But do you not remember when you got a project at school and you had to go to the library and get something? But if you didn't get there before someone else, they'd taken out that particular book.
Yeah.
It's the same situation there.
Do they have libraries still in school? Because I know they closed a load down, didn't they?
Yeah, they have a library in our school, but no one hardly goes in there.
Okay, why is that?
Because everyone else would rather socialise with people.
Okay, so there's a two-way thing here then. Mm. You know, you've got to be able to take... No point having the books there if you ain't going to read them or take the time and the trouble to ever, find out where they are. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all common sense so far, and you're making some good points. What's the next one?
I think I would change the way like the school they deal with situations like bullying.
Okay.
Because some teachers, they don't actually deal with the situation. They just sit the student down and have a quiet little talk, but they don't actually do anything to solve the situation.
Right.
And, like, say, like, you've been bullying someone.
I haven't. Don't say that. I haven't.
He bullies me every time I hit Wednesdays. Every Wednesday. I still turn up for more.
Like, say if you're bullying someone, or the teacher, they don't actually solve the situation. They just sit you down and have a quiet little word about it. They don't actually find a solution about the situation.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, agree on that one. Because on the other side, remember we had that young lass? It was Angel?
Angel, yeah.
Yeah. And she said that they were put into isolation.
Isolation, I like that.
If they didn't come in with the correct schoolwork. So are they sort of focusing too much on that sort of thing and not...
Fascinating. Yeah. It's a fascinating thing. Are you being bullied? Have you been bullied?
I have been bullied, but...
Who's going to bully you? You're 6'2".
That's when I was in year 7.
He's 5 foot then.
He's only 5 foot then. Oh, right, okay. Of course you're going to bully you.
How did you manage that?
Well, I did, like, report them to, like, my teachers.
Right, just keep that bit of paper quiet, all right? I'm not bullying you, by the way. All right?
Like, I went and told the teacher, but they didn't actually do anything. Like, some teachers are like that. They just, like they just push it to the side, like they're not really bothered, and nothing ever got done about it.
Okay. Which is tragic. It's a tragic thing when that happens. I've heard numerous stories from numerous people at numerous different schools on the island where they got those issues. And I'm not going to make excuses because there are no excuses. And there really aren't any excuses. But in some instances, these teachers are so... They've got so much to do because they've been lumbered with statistics. And they've got statistics coming out of their ears. Their hands are tied. And it's a choice between, you know, taking the time and the trouble to do, you know, and sort out something, or getting a statistic ticked because otherwise they don't keep their job. I think, because that's what it comes down to. I think that's a sad state of affairs. And we've been saying it now for a long time that, you know, people that have been in the profession as a teacher have come out of the profession because of those reasons. Their hands are tied and there's nothing more that they can offer, even though they're decent teachers. You know, it's a real sad state of affairs. Hey, look, do you know what? All week you've been mucking around and you've been a pain in the backside for some of it. And every now and again, you really shock us and surprise us with some real common sense. And you've actually recorded a top five.
Yeah.
And the top five is brilliant. The way that you've recorded it, the way that you've voiced it, honestly, it's going to get played out on the air very soon. And you seem to come to life. And you've got such a wicked sense of humour. You really have. So, look, all I'm going to say to you is that you can do anything you want to achieve. You really can. And I hope you get to that chance to achieve. And if somebody's telling you you're only going to get a D, I'm going to tell you, don't think like that.
No.
You're worth better than a D. And wouldn't it be great to be able to prove that teacher wrong that said you're only worth a D? So honestly, you can do anything you want to. But if people tell you you're going to be a D, and you believe it, believe it. Go aim higher. You're worth more than that. You okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, you can get out now.
Stop growing.
Stop living in that grow bag, all right? Thank you. We're going to take a break. We're back with part two.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people. The House of Chili is located at Hollier's Barn in Branston, between Princelet Chute and Thompson Garden Centre. We stock a vast array of chili-related products from the Isle of Wight. Chili balsamics, relishes, chutneys, marmalades, sweets, snacks, dried mixes, and
and a vast array of hot sauces from the Isle of Wight and around the world. We have sample tables to taste a wide variety of products. Looking for that unique present? How about a House of Chili gift pack or one of our luxury hampers? Check out www.houseofchili.com. Ideal gifts for the chili lover in your life.
All Washed Up are a group of friends and family brought together by toe-tapping music and fun times. Their influences stem from blues, bluegrass and skiffle genres. They also like to put their own All Washed Up twang on popular songs with an eclectic mix of banjo, mandolin, ukulele, guitar, bass, harmonica, washboard and T-chest bass. They play feel-good, foot-stomping tunes that are good for both the soul and dancing. To book All Washed Up for your events, call 01983 521 267. That's 01983 521 267. Or email DameShirleySteed at gmail.com. Or check them out at www.allwashedup.info.
Isle of Wight Feet help people with foot problems and footwear. Make an appointment to see my dad for professional chiropody and podiatry services. He specialises in making orthotic insoles and made-to-measure footwear. Don't put us off and suffer. We're opposite the Conservative Club in Cross Street, open from Tuesday to Saturday from 9 to 5. Telephone 864444 or search iwfeet.co.uk.
Are you ready, Boots?
This Thursday, join us to debate the biggest political event of the decade, the EU referendum, live on Vectis Radio. Whether you're in or out, it's an unmissable topic that will be broadcast from the deciding day between 12 and 1. The outcome of this day will change the course of our futures, so we want to hear your point of view. Join Jacob, Alfie and Cameron on Thursday. We'll see you there.
Stay social and get in touch. It's /Vectis Radio on Facebook. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
We've had three students in from Medina College in the last couple of days, and they're going to be on the show tomorrow doing it, talking about the EU, the three of them. But we're getting them in individually, and we've heard from Cameron Perry, and now we've got Jacob Cass. And you're from Ryde, but you're going to school in Newport.
Yeah.
Still, it still baffles me in this day and age. That's still going on because you're up against it from the start. But hey, look, you've got about 18 minutes to talk about your chosen subject, right, which is the five things that you would change in school.
Right,
and what would be interesting is, are they going to be the same as Cameron's?
I don't know. It might
go on. Go on.
Well, I know the first one is the same as Cameron's, but it's the fact that our GCSE targets are based on the results from Key Stage 2 tests.
Okay.
Which doesn't make sense to me because a lot happens between that. And
quite
it just.
Right.
We've got people that have come over themselves and gone a lot further who are now got targets that are way too low for them, that is not pushing them, it's not making them strive. And we also have people that have got targets that are just too high, that are just, they went for a peak at primary school and were top of their class, and now they've got targets for their GCSEs that are A's, B's, that they're just not going to realistically achieve, and it's just a depressant, really.
Okay, it's a really good point, well made, it really is. And what we are going to do is we're going to send this recording. We, you know, it's obviously live, but it will be recorded. We'll send this to the powers that be and say, look, can you answer this? Mm-hmm. This is a 15-year-old lad?
Yep.
15-year-old lad that is really under the cosh, plus you've restricted him, or what targets have they given you? Personally, if you don't want to talk about your targets, that's fine.
No, it's fine. It's around C's and B's, which is pretty dead on for me, I think.
Okay, but C's and B's, that tends to... I look at that and I think, C's and B's, okay, but... What happens if there's an A in you?
Yeah, no, exactly.
You know, I just think you're not being encouraged, are you?
So are they not setting you work? Is that how that works?
No, they are. It's just before every kind of term, you get your targets.
Yes.
You get what you're striving for, and if you're striving for something that's really close, you're not going to work as hard, are you? Because you're thinking, I've got this X amount of time
right
to get this far, and if that's
not too far away.
That's not good for the confidence, is
no,
it?
No, it's not.
So it must pull some people down. To, yeah. Well, they said, I'm only going to get a D. I mean, but we've just said to Cameron, you go for it.
We totally agree with you. What's next?
Another thing that's probably being said about life skills that need to be learned.
Come on. He mentioned it as well. Yeah, so what life skills are you lacking in?
Well, just general things that are easy, like... Well, I say easy. I haven't got a clue. But taxes, mortgages. I don't know what a mortgage is. I just know it's something you pay on your house. It's not something to do with houses.
All right, get the wife down. She'll talk you all through. she deals with the finances.
I used to have home economics when I was at school.
Yeah.
And that used to teach the basics of everything.
Yeah.
They should bring something like that back
That is technically a thing, but it's an option. If you didn't pick that, it would. If you did pick that, then it would take up your time to do other things.
So do you still have to do? Because we used to have to do religious education. So you have to do that. Yeah. So there you go. You've got religion being rammed down your throat. And I'm sorry for those people that are religious and may think that's offensive. I do apologise. That's not the point that I'm trying to make. You're made to do that, but life skills, you're not made to do. Home economics, you're not made to do. Which is more important in your own eyes?
Home economics.
So that's more than religion. Because let's be honest, you're probably going to get religion back home, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're going to be taught religion back home because that's what happens. I mean, we had families that were, you know, Mormons. We had families that were C of E, Catholics, and so on and so forth. And if they're a family of Catholics, they probably know all about it. They don't need to go to school to learn it. They can probably advance it. But let's be honest, what's more important? You need to know things, don't you? You need to. If your parents were suddenly ill, you need to be able to cook for yourself. Could you?
Only what my mum and dad taught me.
Okay.
Nothing.
Well, don't worry, because Cameron's got the pizza in the oven. Yes. You can go around to his. Okay, what's the next point?
The government, whenever a new government comes in, they bring in new kind of spec for the exams. They change what it is we're doing for the exams, what's in the exams, how long we have for the exams, and it just doesn't give teachers and students enough time to get used to the exams so they can learn it to the full of their potential, or teach it to the full of their potential.
It's a brilliant point. Mm. It's a really, really good point. Again, you know, they're totally oblivious. It's okay making these rules up there, but then they've got to make sure that this comes back to you. And if hang on a minute, you've changed it again.
Exactly. There's a new system that's been put in for our English, which instead of the A, B, C, D and all that, it's a 1 to 9. See, so you get one point something or 1 point, all that. And it's for the sole reason so we can more easily compete with Europe. It's just so we can compare ourselves to other countries. It's not for making us learn better. It's not so we can teach our lessons easier. It's just so we can say, nah, 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 we're better than you.
Yeah.
It's just showing off. It's nothing...
Do you know, there comes a point when you are going to be totally fed up with being a statistic.
Yes. Because
that's what you are.
Yeah.
And that's so, so wrong. You're being used as a statistic. And the sad thing is, it might sound like I'm having to go at the teachers. I'm not. I never have go at the teachers. I really feel sorry for the teachers because they're being told what to do.
Yeah.
This is how you've got to do things. There was a lady, I've got to make this point, there was a lady on the television last year, she's the some MP that is to do with education, and they said, everyone under 11 has got to learn their times tables, and if they don't, we're going to bring in super heads and make this happen because everybody needs to do it. And then somebody said, well, what's 11 nines? And I'm not here to play silly games. Thinking, if you're going to lead from the front, lead from the front.
Absolutely. Well, my mum's a teacher, and after coming here yesterday, I went over to her school to help out after there, and she was clearing out a load of old folders, and we took them into the other classes. She teaches year 4, bearing in mind. And we took these folders down to year 1, where they are covering some of the same stuff now, because they have pushed it down. So we are they're trying to cram down all this information that 3 or 4 years ago that we were learning in year 4, year 5, year 6, we're now learning in year 1 and 2.
Okay.
I think we should have a separate board that never changes with the government. You know, a separate group of people for the teaching. Because it shouldn't really be dealt with
politics.
But it should be ex-teachers and ex-head teachers. Yes, it shouldn't be politicians.
I'm glad that came out of your mouth, because I've been thinking that and saying it for years. You said it completely unprompted. Hey, look, you're 15 years old. You get it. Okay, your mum's a teacher, so you're probably going to hear it a lot, but you get it, you understand it. How is it that someone went to Eton that, you know, lives in London, completely away from you, makes these dreadful decisions and just forces all this nonsense down the line so that we've got this system in place that is really hampered?
Yeah.
And all for statistics. I think it's just totally ridiculous. You've started me off now. What's the next one?
I think it's the... This is a minor thing, but it's the school recently have been going through a lot of changes of exam boards, so going from EdXL to AQA, which are two different exams. Although it makes sense in some of the changes because of the grade boundaries are easier, it's still confusing, because I mean, I've been learning one particular exam board for the past 3 years, and to change, although it is the same sort of information, it has to be answered in a different way, and it's just, I don't know. They should start you off with the exam board. They shouldn't change it halfway through.
Makes common sense. Is there one more?
No, we've just covered it.
That's it then. You're done. And there were, you know, a couple that were the same as. Because what we wanted to do was get a flavour of, this is what you feel, this is your mind, this is what you think. And there were a couple of similarities with you and Cameron. I dare say when Alfie comes in, there'll be a couple of other points as well. Mm. The other thing you wanted to chat about was, you know, obviously a difficult subject. Mm. And it's been in the news for the last, you know, week or so. Mm-hmm. It is about a week, isn't it? This happened last Thursday, and it's the dreadful news of Joe Cox.
Yeah.
And you, is there anything you want to say about that, first of all?
Well, when I was saying about this, it was although it's a very sad thing, it's being fueled by the media. It is like, it's a very stigmatized thing. I don't want to say that it's common now, that sort of thing. Like, if you look over in America, the Orlando shooting, that was one of 43 shootings on that day. 43 in one day.
You've done your research.
Yeah.
Good.
I did notice on a football match that was on my son-in-law's TV that it was Orlando versus someone else, obviously, but they had a selection of chairs which they put balloons to remember them. Mm-hmm. So they still highlight it.
It is a growing problem, I feel. Mm. And it's don't want to say it, but it's mainly the media's fault, in my opinion. It's just the blowing out of proportion of what this is and what this stands for, and it's just sending some people over.
Do you know what? I totally agree with you, purely and simply. I sit before you. I've been in the media for 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. I love the job that I do, but I hate the trade that I'm in for those reasons. Well, I really detest... Yeah. Just let me finish for a minute. Sorry. It needs saying. It really does. Yeah. I've said it many times, but I detest what we've become. Mm. We've become intrusive. We don't care about other people at all. We, you know, it's, and that's not just in this country. The media's are all around the world. They're all the same. The same over. You look at the situation with Cliff Richard. What a vile thing that was.
Yeah.
The fact that this man went through that, you know, he said, since when did your house have to be investigated, or you investigated with a camera and lights? That is disgusting. That's what we've become. Our British media, let's deal with our own. You know, we need to grow up, and we need to put people first. And yes, there are times when you do things and you do it in a way that it highlights that that person is an issue. But when they're not an issue, you don't do it just for the sake of ratings, because that's basically what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. That's a disgusting thing. And that, sadly, you know, the other day, okay, we're talking about Joe Cox, and that happened. Yeah. And they are now making this, you know, this situation bigger and so on, and they're using it for themselves. They use the Cliff Richard thing for themselves. Mm-hmm. The other day, totally different subjects. You've got, you know, England versus Wales and so on and so forth. And then the day after, England only draw with Slovakia and Wales win the group, which should have been a positive news story. They're pitching Wales versus England. And they want, you know, bearing in mind we've got these riots going out in France it's over football. They're fueling it.
It's playing on the fear of the people.
And why? Because they hope that if they can wind the people up enough, there might just be a little fisticuff somewhere so they can film it and take this story to another level.
Yeah.
That's the despicable media that we've got, not just in this country, I say, but around. So I'm absolutely 100% with you there. I think it's dreadful what happened there. I think it's even... What really does annoy me about that is the fact that this chap then went to court... And what he read out as his name was the big story. Hang on a minute, that's not the big story here. Let's focus. The big story is that this lady lost her life. These children will grow up without their mother, and yet they are saying, "Oh, this guy is crazy. He's got this name. He's got, you know, he's giving this out." And you think, "Wow, hang on a minute, the story's lost now."
But
you've got your kicks.
But it's just so many angles to this story that annoy me, and it's just that. Like, when Britain's First, he claims to be a Britain's First supporter, and they've gone, whoa, hang on a minute, we don't want this negativity, we're gonna, he was not one of us, when that's exactly what they've been doing to the Muslim community.
Mm.
By saying, oh, one of your people in inverted commas, has blown himself up killing other people, so you all must be like that. And it's just wrong. And with, like, and also with Donald Trump, he's so close to getting into, like, power, and he's doing the exact same thing, and it's just wrong.
It is wrong. And is that the reason why you... Because you don't have an interest in radio, do you? You're here because it's on a musical level. And I can understand why people don't want to get into media, but it's something I don't... we do not push. We don't push people to be intrusive.
No.
You know, there's no intrusion here.
No.
You know, if people are interviewed, they want to be interviewed.
Yes.
No other reason. And we don't ask personal questions. Unless it's, you know, we ask first, we check out first. You know, that's not what it's done. So you don't have an interest in radio at all?
It's not that I don't have an interest in radio. It's just music's been a very big part of my life since I was little. And that's kind of my main focus.
But does that put you off? When you look at what's been doing on, you know, what's going on BBC, ITV... Because I've got to be honest with you, if I was in your shoes now looking at the media, I'd be thinking, why would I want to be part of that?
it's a good point. But
it's like you now looking at your mum, she teaches, and you know how that works now and how they're treated, and you think, why would I want to be a teacher?
Yeah, no, teaching is definitely not something I want to do. And although it's not something I would have considered as such, I think it could have been a possibility, but I couldn't deal with it.
That's a real shame. I think that's been put into people of your age, instead of you could go in there and change things. So we're not getting that in people.
Mm.
And that's what's missing now. You could go into media and change things. Like Ian saying, we're not intrusive, we talk to people, but he's changed things. So they'll stay like that until we have the people who have got the guts to go and say, no, we can't, we shouldn't be doing it this way. We shouldn't be going in.
Trouble is, you're right. You're never ever going to change it, because the people that are running these companies are so, so wealthy. And it's like a disease. We're hooked on, you know, these things. We're hooked on this communicational thing that is being misused. Mm. And all you can do is just do what you do. And all we can do is do what we do, but we don't do that because that's intrusive. That's just vile. What they've done to certain people.
Yeah.
You know, we've just mentioned a couple of stories. They're recent, but they're disgusting.
Yeah.
But I blame those reality shows a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heck of a lot. Why are we watching those sort of things? From sort of a Big Brother to actually being like a fly on a wall.
Yeah. Do you watch those programs?
No.
See, you strike me as someone that's quite intelligent, actually, and think, well, why would I want to watch that? Come on.
No.
My son's 20 and he messes me, I've got to go, Dad, I've got to go and watch Geordie Shore. It's just starting. Yeah.
It's watching edited versions of other people's lives. What, like, It's
You're quite right.
It's, I don't know.
Why would you want to?
No, I don't know.
Because we're nosy.
Stop being nosy.
We are. You know, let's be honest. I mean, what have we had in our lifetime? Soaps. I blame soaps.
You blame soaps?
I blame soaps. Because we're nosy, aren't we? We want to know what happens next, don't we?
Yeah,
but soaps turn around and make things seem lighter at times, except for EastEnders when it's always dull. Sorry.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Can't go there.
Fair enough. But, hey, look, we're going to take a break and then we're going to get Alfie what's it in? And we're going
to
Murray, that's him. Alfie
him.
Murray. He's coming in.
Yeah, he's
shaking his head.
He's coming in a mo, and he's got a couple of things he wants to say as well. But it's been a privilege to talk to you. You're actually one, the sensible one
well
of the
done.
Bunch.
I'm going to. You haven't heard from Alfie yet.
I've been speaking
good.
To him all week.
You're doing Bruce Forsyth, aren't you? On the program. You're my favourite.
You're one up, dear.
You said that to everyone. You're my
favourite. So, that's what I say to the cats. Oh, Dave, you're my favourite. You are. And then when Doris walks in, oh, Doris, you're my favourite.
Yeah. Is that what you do?
Okay. Anyway, look, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Thank you.
Cheers.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
Putting the community back into local radio. This is Vectis Radio.
VectisRadio.com.
For the people, by the people.
Immerse yourself in the nostalgia of how railways used to be at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Our genuine island locomotives and carriages date back to Victorian times and are immaculately restored to pristine condition. Book now and you'll enjoy a one-hour train ride taking you through the island's unspoiled countryside and woodland. Our new Train Story Discovery Centre at Haven Street provides an opportunity to get close to the carriages and locomotives. And a range of interactive activities can be enjoyed by all ages, telling a fascinating story of railways on the island. Also new for 2016 is the informative and engaging Bird of Prey Centre. For full details, call 01983 882 204 or visit iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
Andy Gustar is here to tell us about Bring a Friend at Hamilton's Fine Foods.
Bring a Friend is a scheme we're running for our existing customers to take away a voucher and to bring a friend in with that voucher next time so that you each receive a pack of our famous ham, our traditional ham and local ham. We're going to keep this going hopefully for around about 2.5 to 3 months. When you turn up, initially you'll be given a voucher, and on that voucher you'll find there's a small form to fill out as regards to your details, your name, your telephone number or your email address. We want to build a database that we can keep you in contact with our ongoing offers. We do some spectacular offers of a very good quality meat.
Hamilton's are in Newport, they're in Pyle Street. Where else are you?
We're in Cowes High Street, Wootton Bridge. We also have a shop now up on Dodner Industrial Estate.
Hamilton's Fine Foods, the best local butcher in town.
Isle of Wight Feet help people with foot problems and footwear. Make an appointment to see my dad for professional chiropody and podiatry services. He specialises in making orthotic insoles and made-to-measure footwear. Don't put us off and suffer. We're opposite the Conservative Club in Cross Street, open from Tuesday to Saturday from 9 to 5. Telephone 864444 or search iwfeet.co.uk.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666 or add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local. So local.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
Okay, here we are then, part three, and all week we've had three youngsters in from Medina College, and we've heard from Jacob Cass, we've heard from Cameron Perry, and now we got Alfie Watsit Murray, who's come in, who at the beginning of the week, Rosemary, let on that he wanted to be a journalist.
Oh.
Yeah. And when we asked him what he knew about us, he said nothing. What do you know about the course you're on? Nothing. So he's got a bit to go to catch up, but he's been doing a lot of research on different things. One of them is the EU. Right. And we're going to be chatting about that tomorrow on the show, which I'm fascinated because you actually made the promo, didn't you?
Yeah.
And it sounds really good.
It does.
It sold me. I'd listen to that. So I'm looking forward to that. What we asked you to do was come up with five things that you would like to change in schools. Yeah. So what five things have you decided that you would like to change?
The first one is that teachers could teach more, because at the moment they just sort of tell you what you're going to do and just give you out work and sheets.
Right.
And let you get on with it.
Okay.
So teachers don't teach?
Yeah, basically.
Right, okay, that's an interesting one. Teachers to teach, I mean, that sounds logical to me. When we was, I'll be honest with you, I used to go to your school years ago. That's what they used to do. Now they're bogged down. I feel sorry for teachers. They're bogged down with statistics.
Yeah.
That's what you like, though?
Yeah, well, it'll make things easier to understand.
Okay.
If they gave you, like, some, just
more explanation about
things.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can ask for help, but like, there's only one teacher in a class and there's about 20, 30 students.
We can all, like, say it's someone else's fault, and I'm not having a dig here, but just say, for instance, you know, there's things that you want to find out. Do you take it upon yourself to find out? Because I look at youngsters and I look at people any age. I mean, let's be honest, when people ask you a question, you think, well, if you only did a Google search or you opened a book, you'd be able to find that out for yourself. And you think, half the time, we're waiting for somebody to do something, say something, tell us something, or make sure that we know something. Wouldn't it be great if we took it upon ourselves to actually do that ourselves, arm ourselves with that information, taking it to another level, thinking for yourself?
Yeah, I agree, but like, school is school for you to learn in.
Sure.
And that's like where you spend most of your day, and you go home, you already have homework and things. That's just like just more of it, and you can do the research there as well.
Okay.
Do you feel you're not being inspired to go and find out, like Ian was saying, to go out there and find more information?
Yeah. Some teachers just sort of teach because it's a job, not really because they want to do it.
Okay.
Okay, that's quite strong.
All right.
But yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Got any more?
Yeah. The board and things put students' entire futures on just those certain exams, and some students could be the brightest in their class and know loads, but when it comes to exams, all the pressure, and they just can't handle it, and they can't do it, and they get a poor grade, which doesn't reflect on them.
Okay.
Well, this is coming across from all three of you.
Yeah, it is, and it's common sense.
Yes.
It is a common problem. Let me tell you, it was like, for us, you did one exam, you weren't measured on the rest of the year, you turned up for the exam, and if you cocked it up, that was what you were left with. For the rest of your life, I've been left with really bad exam results, poor exam results, because I was in love with a French girl, and she went back home, and I couldn't focus on what I was doing, so my exam results went downhill.
I'm just playing the smallest violin.
So, you know, that's a good point to make. So you're judged. You got it slightly differently. Are you judged not by the exam? You're judged by other things as well that you do, modules that you do.
We get coursework as well, but now they're scrapping the coursework for the next year.
Right.
So they'll just have to do 100% exams for the grades.
That puts massive pressure on you.
Yeah, it does.
Huge pressure. I mean, you know, anybody listening, for goodness sake, get this system sorted out so it's fairer.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it seemed to be quite plain when we were younger.
Yeah.
I think. So why have they changed it?
It's all statistics, isn't it? What's the next one? Because I can't wait for the subject you want to talk about as well. I'm rushing you through because that's the one I want to talk about.
In most schools, teachers worry more about the uniform, and staff in general worry about the uniform.
Right.
Which is very expensive. Like, my blazer alone just cost about 40 quid.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. And if you don't have a certain piece, then you're just going to get in loads of trouble, which will affect your learning as well.
Of course it will.
Yeah.
Of course it will, because they see a teacher having a bit of a dig at you, and then other kids chip in, and so on. And then all of a sudden, you I don't know, you're in an awkward situation, or you can be. We had a young lad at our school, and he was a Cypriot lad, and I feel really bad about this now, because he was a good friend, he was a good mate, But I used to look at him and think, he's a Cypriot guy, he's come over, him and his family have come over, they come over in the summer holidays, we were all like friendly and so on and so forth, got to school, and I felt really bad for him because he couldn't afford the blazer. So he went to school, Medina, they've always had a blazer, so they've gone to school and they've picked on him from the start because, your dad's on the social because you can't afford your blazer. And they used to give him and you used to end up, getting in fights because you'd stand up for him and so on and so forth. But you think, that's how bad it was. So I completely get what you're saying. And he had a tough old time at school, not just because he was Cypriot. It was because he was Cypriot, didn't have any money, and he didn't have a blazer. But the sad thing is, it wasn't the kids that started picking on him. It was the teachers that highlighted them. Oh, you haven't got your blazer. So other kids jump in and do that same thing. So I'm with you on that. Is there anything else you want to chat about?
I've got one more thing, and it's that punishment should probably be stronger in some cases.
Cool.
In lessons, you've got certain students that just constantly mess around, disrupt everything. The teacher's stopping, talking, and you can't work and concentrate properly. And they're just not punished hard enough, and they just sort of get like a telling off, and then they just go back and doing it again.
I'm with you. Yeah. We used to have the cane.
Yeah, but that comes down to what they're allowed to do again now, isn't it? Because it does. People suing or parents coming and saying you're not allowed to do that. And it's a shame. Yes, there's certain things that they shouldn't do anymore, but to be able to, as you say, be strict so that everyone can concentrate on what they're doing.
Yeah,
you're 100% there.
I think when the scary thing is I had a word with Mr. Moglioni, who used to be one of the head teachers when I was at Medina. He's a well-known teacher. He's well into his 80s now. And I bumped into him about 10 years ago. His grandson was playing football with my son. We were just talking, and he had this massive reputation, really big, Moglioni, you'd freeze because he was, in the vicinity. And he was saying that I had this reputation here, but guess how many people I caned in 22 years at Medina, what it was called high school then. 22 years, I'm thinking, crikey, he used to do it about once a week at least. Oh, hundreds. 22. And three people had it three times. So that lowers the numbers of how many people actually had it. But the threat was there. And that was enough. You haven't got that now.
No.
You can't touch me.
Yeah.
That's basically
you can't touch me. And that's it. My dad would come up and give you a clip around the ear yourself. You can't touch me. And I agree. When you look at if schools are failing, which they say they are, it's just common sense, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's failing because the system doesn't work that you've got in place now, because you're too worried about statistics and discipline has gone out the window. You don't have to batter kids, but you do have to have some kind of deterrent. Surely, you have to. Okay, that's that done and dusted. Yeah. We've got 5 minutes now to talk about our favourite subject, okay? So,
is this the subject that I'm going to go and just...
I told you she'd be like this. Didn't I tell you she'd be like this? Okay, so we want to talk about the European Championships 2016.
Sorry.
Here's a question for you.
Yes.
I mentioned this earlier on. I said this to you as well. Northern Ireland have made it through to the last 16. It's fabulous news because Northern Ireland, the last time they qualified for anything was 1982, I think it was. And they qualified for the last 16, okay, of the European Championships. Great news, but by qualifying, they've lost twice and only won once. And there they are. They're in that last 16. If I was Irish, I'd feel a bit cheated. I'd feel a bit like...
Sounds a bit
should
Irish.
Should I really be here? Because I don't... What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's strange what the system they're doing this year. They've let, more teams in.
Hmm?
There's two more groups, I think, isn't there?
Well, there's four best losers, isn't there?
Yeah,
four best losers, because that's what they are. They're best losers. They've lost twice. Poland have beaten them. Germany have beaten them. I mean, they've been awesome, don't get me wrong. They beat the Ukraine and they were unlucky against Germany. The goalkeeper was fantastic yesterday. Wasn't he a great goalkeeper yesterday?
Yeah, I didn't see all of it, but the bit I see,
wow.
Yeah,
the saves that he made.
So what about those people in the middle that didn't win and didn't lose?
Well, funny enough, that might be a situation, because Iceland have drawn two games, Portugal drawn two games, and if they draw another one, they might not have lost any, but not know. So who then goes through? It's a lottery.
It's a minefield.
It's a lottery. It really is a lottery. Anyway.
Why are they doing it?
Again, it comes down to the ratings, doesn't it? It's more matches.
Well, I don't watch it.
So more matches, more people going, more bums on seats, more money. That's what it comes down to. That's my own interpretation of
it.
It'd be
fun if just everyone, for some, just turned it off. One particular match, all at the same time, did a protest. Don't you look at me like that. Turned it off.
Alfie, tell her. Tell her, just say, you don't know what you're talking
if
about.
If there's one, you could do, everyone could do one match.
Alfie, tell her,
turn it off.
You don't know what you're talking about.
In some cases, I can't agree with that.
Ah, thank you. Well done, that boy.
You got clubs.
You're the best one out of all of them. He's the best one.
Just boycott him.
He knows who to agree with.
Mm. Football is down to the fans, and if you haven't got the fans, then you haven't got football, and then you haven't got money.
Yeah,
he's just said it.
And people take advantage of the fans.
I love football, but I don't like that side of it, with the finances and
that, bring them back to wearing the long shorts, that, you know, the proper size shorts, kicking a ball for 100 quid a week.
Well, not 100 quid a week, but it's sensible wages.
Sensible money, and then you get a proper game.
But, so, look, we're running out of time. We've got about 2 minutes left. Who do you reckon is going to win the championships?
I thought France could be the favourites going in.
Okay.
But watching the games, I think Italy could do it.
Italy will be there or thereabouts, because they can adapt to any situation. They can shut down the shop and don't let goals in, and they can go out and get them as well. My money's on Italy. Why not England?
Just no passion. They think they're too good for the competition.
I love that word. There's no passion.
Do you know what? You're 15, aren't you?
Yeah.
You've just said that's all needs to be said about English football. That's it. That's the reason why you won't win.
There's no passion.
And do you know what? They pay those people thousands.
Too much money.
To be on the television and talk about England and talk about football and stuff. And you've just hit the nail on the head. You ain't getting paid for this. There's no money coming your way, but you've just hit the nail on the head. There's no passion and probably a real lack of respect. Mm. And you've only got to see that when they line up for the national anthems.
And they can't even sing.
And they mumble their way. Yeah. You probably heard that said a few times this week, mumble.
Yeah.
They mumble their way through the national anthem and then they expect to be passionate on that football
pitch. They're a bunch of Muppets.
See, that is the quote of the day. That right there is absolutely bang on. They're a bunch of Muppets. They really are, and that's the reason why England won't win.
Yeah.
And until they address that, you look at you started me off now. How wonderful did Leicester do this season?
Oh, it was great,
phenomenal. How many Leicester players are in the England team?
There's only Vardy, but
and there are English players that were left behind that played for Leicester. They were the in-form team, but there's
Drinkwater.
Yeah.
And you've taken Jack Wilshere, who's played about two games all season.
Absolutely. I'm an Arsenal fan, a Jack Wilshere fan, but he shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And that's the reason, that's another reason why we would never ever win anything, because we always, there's a bit of snobbery here. Mm. Oh, no, they play for Leicester. They can't possibly play for England. We have to have Wayne Rooney as the captain. We have to have this person playing because they play for Liverpool and they're a top side. Leicester, who are they? They've just won the Premier League and won it at a canter with numerous English players that they won't even look at. And I say, until you address that issue, see, we're solving a lot of problems here today.
Yeah.
And until they address that issue, it ain't never going to happen.
World peace is next week.
Next week. We're going to wait till then.
Yeah, when you're gone. Yeah. When you're on holiday.
So do you have a favourite? Do you have any idea who's doing well, who's not?
Sorry, you're looking at me asking that one?
Yeah.
No.
Let's be honest, those people on the TV, your Glenn Hoddles, he don't know nothing.
No. Well,
and he's getting paid for it.
Someone's going to win.
So, yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. So you reckon the Italians?
Yeah.
Okay, my money's on the Italians. And people were talking about the Spanish, but they got beat yesterday as well. Croatians.
Oh, I didn't see the end of it.
Yeah, Croatia won in the end. And that was a bit of a shock result as well.
I like Italian because I like Italianos. Yeah, there you go. I'll go Italy.
He looks a little bit Italian, doesn't he? Old Alfie Murray.
You got some Italian in you?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay.
Okay, look, thank you for coming in and sharing us your views on football and, of course, what's going on in schools as well. Thank you for being there, Herb.
You're right. Can I just say one thing? If you're not doing anything on Saturday, come to Joe Ellis Charity Day at Cowball Mill between 10 and 7. Help raise funds for the charity and support Cowball Mill at the same time.
Brilliant. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And stand by, because the Voxes are on the way. That's James and Judith, Mr. and Mrs. V, next. Okay.